And Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give this again to the Springfield Church, who's called to you, Lord. But yeah, you help us to not take you for granted, Lord. But first of all, Lord, you're the Martinder. Even Lord, it's happy with this. We're ready to come into your house tomorrow, Lord. Your place is broken. And then we'll be getting a full best tomorrow, Lord. Allow your word clarity, Lord, and free course to work with the lost. We'll be in the hearing of it, Lord. Pray your good beneath in the hearts of people, Lord, for sickness, Lord, those who've been operated on, Lord, those who are still working through health challenges, Lord, meet them in the near of the season, Lord. Pray your good work that's going on this next week, Lord, and all those going, telling grace, and so much to be accomplished, Lord. We ask to be your work on the hearts of the lost now. We'll be in attendance, Lord, and only our respective vacation Bible school with some of the ones also a church camp meeting will have. Faith is now made in this class, Lord. We open our hearts to the hearing of your word, Lord. I think you hear is coming from you.
All right. We're going to start in Exodus 31. So, Brother Sean's class, obviously, is teaching on the basics of the tabernacle. So, trying to stick close to that subject matter or material. And he was keeping me on my toes. I'm going to be there. I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be there Friday night. I'm not going to. So, he was keeping me on my toes there. But
Exodus.
Yeah. That's fine. Exodus 31. So talking about this Wednesday night at church too. So, you know, we hear it all the time. We need to use the scripture. We need to use the Bible. We need to, you know, not just use analogies and stories and this and that. And Brother Sean was talking about last night about what the tabernacle represents and why, you know, why we should emphasize it and why it needs to be something that we have memorized, and that you have that foundation, you have that structure memorized so that you can always go back to that and answer some of these off the wall questions or some of these things that might be stumbling block for people. You go back to that structure and that foundation. But, you know, this is the understatement of the year, but there is a lot. There's so much in the law. There's so much in the Old Testament. There's so much in and throughout the tabernacle that is useful in bringing out the doctrines and practices of the New Testament. And it's a better argument. The testimony of God that he's left for us is a better argument than just, well, that's how churches have done it for a long time. And so, you know, the word of God is a living word, it's the living word. And so when we use the tabernacle, when we use testimony of the law or the scriptures or, you know, even the verses in Psalms and stuff that relate to our doctrines today, it's just as if the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to that person's heart.
Thank you.
Hopefully we believe that. That's they are the Holy Spirit's words, holy men of God, because they were removed by the Holy Spirit. And so it's not a vain thing to use the scriptures. It is not a vain thing to be able to go back and look at the types and the shadows and the object lessons, and it shouldn't be boring. And at some point you have to go, what is going to change their mind? What is the only chance that we have? Because people have hangups, people have stumbling blocks, people have you know, things they hold on to. And you know, it, as good as we can get with stories and experience and analogies, like, man, I need the living word of God to touch their hearts, to change them. And so, you know, we're going to look at that. And it this is all the living word of God, everything in here. So the point is, and I'm not claiming to have discovered anything new or anything like that, but the point is that there is a lot in the law. There's a lot in the Old Testament, and the last time I had a chance to teach that to share something that I had, you know, I was telling Brother Ryan. Brother Ryan referred to it many, many years ago. He was teaching a lesson, and I just jotted it down on a little note, and you know, asked him some other questions, and I looked at it some more. But you know, the law of leprosy, like there's a lot there. There's a lot when you go to the law and look at how they were to take care of widows, and then in the New Testament, you know, Paul talks to Timothy about widows, and what were the deacons doing there in Acts chapter 6? The widows were being, there's so many pictures and shadows and types and object lessons there. So anyways, it definitely shouldn't be neglected. And if we find ourselves avoiding it because I don't know, or because I'm not as familiar, which is what we do. We stay away from things because we're not as familiar with them, right? You're going to see a chainsaw running next week at church camp, and you're going to be like, oh, that scares me. You know, that I'm not familiar with that. That scares me, so I'm going to stay away from it. Well, if we find ourselves unfamiliar with certain things in the scriptures, we need to acknowledge that and say, okay, now I want to get familiar with it. I want to dive into that. And so ask questions, take notes, look back on notes, but most of all, get into the scriptures and trust that the Holy Spirit's going to open our understanding, and he's going to bless that effort. So anyways, Exodus 31, start reading here, verses 1 through 6. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, did you have a question?
I'm just sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
31, thank you. 1 through 6.
Yes.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and of the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded.
All right, so you can hold your place here if you want. Let's flip over to chapter 36 as well, and it gives similar information about these men. But a few different things are mentioned. I'll go ahead and read starting in verse 1. Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. So first thing to consider this morning is that there were more than just Bezaleel and Aholiab that contributed to the working and the manufacturing, if you will, the shaping, the construction of the furniture and all the articles of the tabernacle. But I wanted to look at a picture here or a type for a few minutes in verse 3. Well, I'm back in chapter 31, from verse 3. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. So I have my opinions on Bezaleel and maybe what I have an opinion maybe on what he did before. Okay. But I cannot sit here and say, well, he was a craftsman in Egypt. That's what he did as a slave. And so he had these talents and he had these abilities. I can't say that. What I can say is that God filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Now, what did Bezalel have to do in order to be useful in this knowledge and wisdom? He had to yield himself to that, right? So, over in, these are just for your notes, but 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, and 2 Chronicles 1, 8 through 12. So Solomon, he prays to the Lord. He says, Lord, grant this thy servant wisdom to judge so great a people, for who can go in and out amongst these people? So was Solomon very wise? Yes, he was very wise. But you know what? He also had a willing heart. Mm-hmm. He also had a submissive heart. And so the first thing, Bezalel and Oholiab, they were submissive. They were willing and they were filled. What we can't do is we can't give them the credit. Oh, they were the master craftsmen.
Yeah.
Oh, they knew how to make the candlestick. They were willing vessels. And so that's, you know, let's turn over to Acts chapter 6. So when we say things like, well, when we read verses in Ephesians 5, 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be full of the Spirit. What do we mean by that? Be full of the Spirit. Yielded to, controlled by the Spirit, right? Do you have as much of the Holy Spirit as you're going to get when you get saved? No?
Yeah.
Okay. You said no.
Why? You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, but you do not, I guess, have full use or access to the Comforter as just a saved individual.
Right.
But I guess the way you worded the question,
So like you're not like you're two thirds full, then you know you're gonna top it off and you get out. Okay. So so you're fully saved and fully indwelling in you, but again, not acting in his full capacity as comforter. But okay, so let's say you're a church member. Are you always full of the Spirit? Like these verses here that we're going to read, Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Remember, Ephesians 5, be not full of wine wherein is excess, but be full of the Spirit. So I'm kind of asking two different questions disguised as one question. Because what these seven men here, they were full of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Oholiab and Bezalel, were they full of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So do you think maybe there was ever a time, anybody in here ever been full of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever not been full of the Holy Spirit? Okay, so you got to remember, I'm asking this two different questions, but I'm asking the same questions.
Well, I mean, if you look at the verse that says, "Look ye out among you, seven brethren, honest report, full of the Holy Spirit." I think about this in the sense of, yeah, you have to go find somebody who has this.
Were there other members? Were there other members here that were full? Did they have the Comforter?
Yes.
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 But they may not have been in this capacity.
It was invisible. The fruits weren't visible of it. It's not always visible that we're putting the Lord first or filled with the Spirit, because maybe we are. Maybe we're backslid, or maybe we have some of our priorities. But going along with the first question, right? There's not more Spirit added. It's just whether or not we're yielding to it, using it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We're getting there. Good, good. Yeah, Brother Mike. And then Brother.
So I guess what I'm thinking is you're bringing out there, trying to bring this out. I think we've got to be a little bit careful, because at any, let's just say, church camp, youth rally, where a speaker's chosen from the floor. So I'm of the belief that every speaker that, you know, is willing and able and is being considered, has studied, prayed, and is ready to bring whatever that message is. Mm-hmm. And generally there's prayer, you know, that the Lord pick the man and leads and all that. It doesn't mean the rest of them aren't.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, Brother Jacobs preached the last two youth rallies. So is he the only one that,
yep,
you know, is able and everything? No, it's just whatever reason, that's the way the Lord went. The message that he had, that the Lord laid on his heart, that's the, you know, for lack of a better term, that's the fork or the spoon God wanted to use that.
Right.
It didn't mean that you weren't prepared either. Mm-hmm. It's just, and it didn't mean that he's better or whatever. It's just on that day, for that hour, that's who God wanted. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, whether yeah. it's youth rally or camp or wherever it is, it's, you know, if you pray and you prepare and you're ready, God's going to choose who he needs for that moment to bring forth that message.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not saying that these were the only seven men here that were full of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Let's see. Turn over to Titus chapter 2, and we will get back to Exodus here. Brother Alex, you had your hand up too.
Well, I was just going to bring up, so, you know, we're constantly battling between our flesh and our spirit. Romans 8, bring that up. Whatever you read, most, that's what's going to show up in your life. So these men that were filled with the Spirit, obviously they're giving themselves over to the Lord.
Yeah.
And the Lord is able to use them.
Yeah. So there in Acts chapter 6, look ye out among you seven men, or look ye out among you men of honest report, men that have a reputation, men that have a pattern of being used by the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, of following that, right? Okay, it's not the same situation, but similar to maybe when everyone stands up and introduces himself, and you know, then there's some nominations made, you know, that these, if someone is not fulfilling the qualifications, or maybe if a church says, you know, we need to take your license away or whatever, well, that maybe that preacher's not going to stand up and is not maybe showing a pattern of being qualified in that time. Aholiab and Bezaleel weren't the only ones. And we're going to read, there were other men, and there was even women that submitted themselves and submitted their work or their services, if you will, their abilities, their talents. But what I want to say is, we can't give more credit to the personal talents and skills of Aholiab and Bezaleel. Because sometimes I hear that too. Well, you know, they, not necessarily them, but, you know, well, God adds people to the church. You know, he adds electricians and he adds accountants and he adds this and that. I don't think God goes through a roster and says, oh, the Springfield Church, they need an engineer. So I'm going to, no. The first thing he saw when he looked at Aholiab and Bezaleel is he saw that they were willing. He saw that they were submissive. They were. I'm going to pull this pencil out, and this pencil is going to act like a pencil. As soon as this pencil starts acting like a hammer, it's not useful to me. Because it's not a hammer, it's a pencil. Right? And so he took Aholiab and Bezaleel, and they were willing, and they were useful, and they were submissive. And so Titus chapter 2 and verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So no pastors told me this, but I will say, no one is expecting you to know everything to get ordained. I don't think so. At least I don't think they are. I'm not expecting you to know everything. Because I did not. I thought I knew a lot when I got ordained. I was probably had a pretty big head, but
you know everything now, Brother Bill?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I probably realize how much I don't know more today than I did 11 years ago.
Yeah.
But no one is expecting you to have every single answer and to know, to have an answer to every single thing or every single circumstance or every single
find it,
right?
But to know where to go to find it.
Yes. But what did the men in Acts chapter 6, and similar to Bezalel and Aholiab, they were full of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And they were willing, they had a willing heart, they were willing to be used, and as God filled them with knowledge and wisdom and understanding, they acted on that. They didn't act on their own talents or abilities or their own experience that they had. Somebody said that, well, these guys were probably doing a lot of this stuff back in Egypt. I don't know if they were or not. Well, maybe they were some of the ones who built the pyramids. And so they could figure out how to run a board through the center of all these other boards, and they could set them in silver sockets. Yes?
You deal with human nonsense. They were not sealed. They were not prepared in Egypt. God gave them the gift. The Holy Spirit. And it was God working through them that made them able to do those things. It's a gift.
It's a man to take credit.
Learn. You see, he gives it to you, you don't have it. And the Holy Spirit's not something you learn or you earn or you prepare to have. He grants it to you when you're... And if you're yielded to the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, it goes... The Spirit working through you, not you working the Spirit. It's
the same vessel that yields to the Spirit and to the Spirit's control and leadership today may not yield tomorrow. The Spirit is the same. The Spirit's leadership is the same. Spirit's not going to change,
mm-hmm.
right? Aaron, I just read it Wednesday. Aaron's sons,
Nadab
and Abihu, right? When God, they were tending the fire mm-hmm. all of a sudden, and then they let the fire go out. I mean, whatever wisdom was required and leadership and all that as they were performing their duties. But at some point, they gave, Brother Alex, they gave over to the flesh. Whatever they did, whether they fell asleep, whether they were chasing girls, I don't know what they were doing. I know Eli's sons were chasing girls at the gate of the tabernacle. Right? They let the fire go out. Okay, so other hand, I see another hand. Did you have your hand up on my hand? Yeah. Well, you already
worked in the center finger for a while.
Well, they tried to administer.
You already hurt my feelings today, so.
They tried to administer strange fire, too.
Yeah, yes. They tried to administer strange fire, which was not the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It was not being full of the Holy Spirit.
Just when Peter, God's always going to have a man, a great man for the job. Then times Peter was a great vessel for the Lord to use. I mean, he used Acts chapter 2, you know, the message that he preached. But then there's times that he wasn't. The Apostle Paul had to admonish him, say you're wrong about this. So like you mentioned, there you could be strong today, but maybe not tomorrow.
Exactly. And so, again, Titus 2, I wasn't thinking we'd spend this much time on it, but that's okay. Titus 2, showing thyself a pattern of good works. So, at an ordination service, the church has examined the candidate, mm-hmm. and then the presbytery is going to examine the candidate. What are you looking for? You're looking for a pattern of what? Of giving over, being used by the Holy Spirit. Because that's what you're going to do as pastor. You're going to be a vessel. Are you going to do it every time? No, you're going to maybe get up there sometimes and, yeah, have the Lord's message, but going to deliver it the way I want to deliver it. And it's going to be a dud. But the knowledge and wisdom and the craftsmanship and the ability, like Brother Roscoe is bringing out, it's not of my own ability. It's not of my own power. And you know what? Just because we were over here on this side of the mountain and we set up all the boards and they fit in all the sockets I don't know. I've read through that a lot, and the way they set up the sockets and the way the boards all fit together without any screws. If I'm building something and something doesn't fit, I get out a saw and I trim it off, and then I throw about 7 screws in there.
You make it fit.
Yeah, That's not how they put the tabernacle together. Well, we just set it up yesterday, and we took it down last night, and we walked over the mountain, and now we're going to set it up today. We don't need the Holy Spirit's guidance. We'll figure out how to put it together today. We've been putting the boards in the silver sockets off for 26 years now. No, you can't do that. You know, these men, they were filled with wisdom. They were wise-hearted. The Lord had put wisdom upon everyone whose heart stirred him up. So that's important, right? And so back over in Titus chapter 2, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. That's understanding the gravity or the weight of the calling or the circumstance. You know, what did he say to Timothy? You watch for their souls. And so that maybe plays into a little bit of what we heard last class, you know, not... If I'm watching for their souls, that's a little bit bigger deal than just they said something really stupid and I want to correct them. And because now I can correct them and I can be right and they can be wrong, but if I'm watching for their souls, it's a little bit different. So sound speech that cannot be condemned. So anyways, all right, let's move on. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. So just, I guess, a final thought on some of that. Another verse that goes along with it, 1 Timothy 1, 11 and 12. God has counted you. I thank God who counted me faithful in putting me into the ministry. So we're not looking for... We shouldn't be looking for men with certain talents or skill sets or abilities, but looking for men and church members and women that are willing to be useful and submissive as vessels and ministers who will surrender to the leadership and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. So now, kind of moving on to a different aspect of this, Exodus chapter 12. And verse number 35, it says, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. All right, now let's turn over to chapter 35. So how long were the children of Israel in bondage in Egypt?
430
years. So when Joseph sent back to Jacob and all the brethren and everybody came, and they left, I think they left the land of Canaan, if I'm not mistaken on that, the land of Canaan. And they all came to Egypt during the famine. The Bible says there were 70 souls.
Yeah.
Okay. And I heard this number a lot when I was younger, and I don't know, I've just gotten used to saying this number, but I've never went back and counted it up. But I've heard and been told, somebody correct me, that, you know, maybe the nation of Israel was maybe like, or the number of people was maybe like 2 million people. Is that kind of what we've all agreed on?
If you say the number, like, if I'm in a war,
yeah,
then you're guessing married kids.
Yeah.
A lot of
people. Yeah. Okay. So, because I think the men of war were like, if you added up, it was close to like 600,000 or 700,000. And that was just... what, age 20, 30 or something, and up to 50 or so. Yeah, so 70 to 2 million. All right. 2.5 children, 1 dog. Yeah. So it's a lot of people. Okay. Started with 70, a lot of people, 430 years, but they were slaves. So we're going to go through, we're going to read this whole chapter here. So I'm going to read about all the stuff that was used in the tabernacle. And I guess I'll just give the punchline before we, in case I don't get to. All this stuff came from somewhere. So we just read there where they spoiled the Egyptians. So 430 years of being a slave, now you're leaving with your freedom. And they didn't just leave with a few rags on their back. They left with a lot of stuff. Now, I don't know if they had their own flocks and herds, but I think they left with a lot more than just their own flocks and herds. So we can read 1 Corinthians chapter 16 about how on the first day of the week we're to give a tithe, we're to give an offering, and we can read Matthew 6:33, and you can read Luke 6:38, right? Kason told me the other day, you read all the same verses for offerings. Well, they're all the same verses I heard growing up. You know, I just try to rotate them every Sunday, so I don't read the same ones. But so when we have a special offering, I don't know which verse to read, so, you know. But got to be able to show with the New Testament and the Old Testament, not just taking up an offering, but even more sacrificing, because sacrificing for the Lord and working for the Lord is more than just writing my 10% tithe check every month, which some people have a hard time with that, but it's even more than that. There are offerings, there are sacrifices, and sometimes it's easy to just say, well, let's have the church buy cookies. Well, where did the purple for the gate come from? You know, Moses and Aaron and Aholiab and Bezalel stood there and they said, hey, we need purple for the gate. God told Moses, for the gate, we need purple, and Aholiab and the ladies who know, who God filled these ladies' hearts with wisdom and cunning and knowledge. And we'll read the verse about how to sew it. I don't know how they sewed it. But God gave them the wisdom to sow some of these things. And Aholiab and Bezalel were like, we need purple. You know what? The people had to walk all the way out. The Judah walked all the way out to where they were. And some of them went in their tents and they picked up their trunk and they looked, hey, we walked out of Egypt with this purple garment. I'm going to take it up there to the tabernacle. That's how the Lord's work got done. And there was a lot of stuff that they accumulated. There was a lot of stuff that they brought to the tabernacle. And so it wasn't like, you know, the treasurer of the children of Israel just made a run to Costco and just, you know, bought a big shopping cart. It was, we need some gold. We need silver. We need oil. Hey, we need some oil. Stop taking my oil. It's my oil. No, that's an offering. They went home and they got some oil and they walked to the Aholiab and Bezalel and some of the other wise-hearted men, and they said, here you go. There you go. And we're going to see that there was a lot. There was a lot that they brought. And so there's, I guess the point I'm trying to make is this is the living word, right? This is a Holy Spirit of God speaking through this testimony, this tabernacle to us. I don't know about you, but I read some of these and I get convicted. 1 Corinthians 16 is convicting. Matthew 6:33 is convicting. Okay, but if I read what they did here, that's convicting to me. Hey, church needs your truck. Not my truck. Get Brother Christian's truck. I mean, it came, yes, they got it from the Egyptians, but you know what? They got turned right around and said, hey, we need an offering. We need some stuff for the tabernacle, and we're talking billions of dollars. I don't know if we'll get into the numbers here, but we're talking billions of dollars that God's people freely gave for this. Did I see it again?
I think maybe it's easier to see it there because you're bringing it out where they leave Egypt, and it's not really their stuff. God gave it to them. And then they give it back to God. But sometimes we think, well, I think mostly because we're Americans, I earned this.
Yeah.
You know, I put in the work and I got this. And so I might give away my extra one, but I'm going to keep my good one.
Yeah.
Right? That's not how they did it.
It's really easy for me to sit here and go, well, they were slaves. They didn't have anything. And so they just, but man, when you go from having nothing to having what the amount that they had, and then to give it to God, and I don't think everybody did. If the children of Israel are anything like God's people today, they didn't all give. I'm just assuming. And maybe some of them gave one day, and maybe some of them didn't. What did Ananias and Sapphira do? Right? There was a guy there, I forget his name, in the chapter before. He sold land and he gave it to Barnabas. Yeah, and then it goes to Ananias and Sapphira, and they only gave part of it. So, all right. Yes.
But they gave and gave, and finally Moses said it's enough, it's too much. They still had stuff left.
Yeah.
See, God never asked. We can't, I mean, it's the phrase that I grew up
with. Can't outgive the Lord.
Can't outgive God.
Yep.
And he never, I mean, Matthew 6:33 is true. All these things will be added unto you. And he never asks more than what we're able to do and what he'll provide abundantly. I always use the scripture in Psalms where that he says that he daily loads us with benefits. We just can't outgive him.
Yeah. And, you know, it's easy to disassociate ourselves from the children of Israel because we're like, well, somebody said this at church. Well, what were they going to do? Spend it out in the desert? Listen, Achan took of the Babylonian garment and a talent of gold, and he went and buried it in his sand. I don't know what he thought he was going to do with it. The bottom line is he lusted after it.
Yeah.
So, you know, they had the same struggles, but some, you're not going to outgive the Lord, right?
The answer is exactly they're going to sell land to heaven. They left, we have a war mentality. They left as slaves. So they left as slaves going into a country that they had not been in for 400 years. They had material that they needed to survive on to trade with. That all that material they had was what they were going to subsist on. With the Bedouin trader, with a Hittite, with whoever is going up again. And for them to say, honey, we're giving it to God because somehow or another you'll make up the difference wherever we end up at.
Right.
It wasn't a matter that they had slaves and it didn't matter to them. And were they going to do sell it in the desert? So, yes, exactly. They were going to survive. If we were leaving today to walk around them wherever, how much stuff would you take? And if the stuff is important, how much would you be willing to give away to continue your journeys?
To be granted the Lord and interpret his name?
No.
Because I bring out that little scenario, and it's a true scenario. You know, when you're going into a land you've never seen before. And it's a human nature thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Verse 4, chapter 35, verse 4. Let's see. For the Christian, would you read? I'm going to give you a long one. Verses 4 through 19. You don't have to stand up and be going to the just nice and mild.
Okay. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and goat's hair and ram skins, dyed red and badger skins, teen wood, and oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and for the sweet incense. And onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. The tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his taches, his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets. The ark and the staves thereof, with the mercy seat and the veil of the cover. The table and his staves and all his vessels and the showbread, and the candlestick also for the light and his furniture and his lamps with the oil for the light and the incense altar and his staves and the anointing oil and the sweet incense and the hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with his brazen gate. His staves and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, The hangings of the court, his pillars and their sockets, and the hanging for the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle, and the pins of the court, and their cords, the clothes of the service to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office.
All right. Brother Reagan, would you get 20 through 29?
And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and all his service and for the holy garments. I'm sorry, where?
29.
And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skin brought them. Every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood or any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands. And brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light, and for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. And the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses.
All right. So, verse 5 again, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold, silver, and brass. So, they announce to the people, hey, we're going to take up an offering. This is a free will offering. If you want to, this is what the Lord needs, but we need donations. Now, it says in verse 21, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all his service and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, brought bracelets, earrings, rings, tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. So this is pretty, to me, this is very convicting. This is more than just give your tithes, give your 10%, and move on. You paid your dues. This is, there is a need. There is a need. And it's great there's a need, but I can't get it off work. That's my favorite thing when people tell me, it must be nice you have the time to do that. It must be nice. It's like, I have the same amount of time in my day as you do. I have the same, like, it's not just I just sit around and do nothing, right? Well, they had extra. I don't think this was extra. Then he goes, man, I like these earrings, but you know what? There's going to be a lampstand made out of gold. Man, these are my earrings. I like this purple jacket. Well, we're going to make a gate, and it's going to have purple in it. That's what they did. I mean, They didn't just go find some cash in the desert of a bunch of extra stuff. Hey, I found all this stuff discounted, right? So we'll just donate it to the Lord's house. We'll just run down to Costco, right? How did the priest garments get made? Verse 19, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his sons to minister in the office. Look up at verse 10. Every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. Well, I can't get it off work. Well, it took time to sit down and make these things. And how much did they make an hour for the Lord?
Zero.
I don't know. In the flesh. Yeah. Just, it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. There were people that sacrificed. How long did it take to sew the priest's garments? I don't know. I don't know how long it would have taken, but I mean, they did it. And so some of them stepped up and volunteered and said, hey, I can sew. Right? I've never sewn priest garments before, but the Lord filled their hearts with wisdom and they were able to do it. Let's see. Verse 21. Oh, already read that one. 25. And all the women that were wise hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. So there we go. It's good for the women to sometimes women are more, they're the ones setting the example. They're the ones sacrificing, putting the time and the effort in. And what was all this for? This was literally just for the house of God, the tabernacle. And how many of these men and women do we know we're going to get to actually go inside the tabernacle and see all this? I don't know of any of them were. Bezaleel and Oholiab didn't even get to go in there because they weren't of the tribe of Levi. Mm-hmm. So, all right, jump down to chapter 36. Actually, let's back up to chapter 35 again, verse 32. I think this is pretty cool. And to devise, verse 32, and to devise curious works to work in gold and in silver and brass and in the cutting of stones to set them and in carving of woods to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet and fine linen and of the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. That goes back to what we were talking about before. God taught these men how to do it. How do you put all those 12 stones in the breastplate, and you cut stones and you know, engrave in the stones and stuff like that. That's pretty cool how they did that. But God told them how to do it.
Yeah.
Well, these men were talented. These men had the ability to do it. They learned these skills and they learned these trades.
Yeah. This is God's word.
I think God just told them how to do it. I think God just looked, they were like, sure. The Egyptians trusted me with mud and hay, but I'll take some emeralds and some sapphires and some gold, and we'll figure this out. And God filled their
heart. They didn't know what it was, but they didn't know how to do what he wanted done.
Yeah, they were vessels. That's the point. They were vessels, and this was all, you know, Psalms. I forget. Everything pertaineth to his glory. I forget that psalm, but everything pertaineth to his glory. And these men and women that are being mentioned here, only two of them are mentioned by name. They love the Lord. Their hearts were stirred up. And you talk about revival. This was a revival, right? It's easy to sit on a pew and do nothing. But these people were revived, and these people said, there's work to be done, there's offerings to be given, there's sacrifices to be made. God could have opened up the earth and said, here's all the gold and the emeralds and sapphires you need. But he put it on their hearts, and he asked for an offering, he asked for a sacrifice, he asked for a living sacrifice. And some of them said, hey, give me that blue shirt you're wearing. We're going to take it up to the tabernacle and we're going to use it as the gate or use it as a curtain. So, Dan, you have your hand up.
We go on the hard way that there have been building projects, whatever. Sometimes people have their skills and abilities and current things. And overall, over the years, I've listened to the other things and the other. You know, a love for God, a willing heart, a want to help, and people can take for that individual. Accomplishing a whole lot. I have the skill to do a certain thing. Right? That willing heart, love for God, get a bunch of those folks, you can accomplish a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not taking anything away. Brother Spencer came down and helped us paint our church building a few years ago, and he did it. He's talented at painting. I'm not taking anything away. I think God can definitely take advantage of those if people are willing, right? But at the same, I also believe, and nothing against Brother Spencer, but I believe that it would have. God would have figured out a way to get it done some other way, right? It doesn't require an engineer or architect or whatever.
In the year 2000, we went to Israel. So the candlestick is made out of one piece of gold, one bead work. In the year 2000, with all of our modern technology, all of our modern advances, all of our very smart people, they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just a physical example of what God can do, like Brother Dell was saying, with a willing heart.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I'm capable of doing. If I will submit to the Lord, like 2 Timothy 2 says, he will prepare me for every good work. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be prepared in the flesh. He will prepare me if I have that willing heart and I'm willing to be used to him.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it gets tossed into, well, the Lord will provide. Well, the Lord will provide. Yes, he will. But we have an example of a widow who gave two mites.
Yeah.
We have a little boy who gave five loaves and two fishes. And that boy, I don't know if he had the understanding to go, this isn't going to feed 5,000 people, but he gave what he gave. And then God took it. And so that's the lesson. The lesson is, man, we're a church of 10 people. Well, what can I give? What can you give? And the Lord will do the rest. I don't think they all walked back to their tents and were like, well, are you going to give? Are you going to give? Are you going to give? Okay, we should have enough earrings. We should have enough gold earrings to make a candlestick. No, it was like, I'm going to give. I'm going to give. And we'll see. So you're not going to outgive the Lord. Okay, personally, whatever it costs to go to the youth rally and gas, we'll be going. That's me personally. Now, that's the way I was raised. I heard it from the pulpit over and over and over, but I 100% believe if I'm going to use gas money to get to the youth rally, then, or if I save my gas money to go do things I want to do, but it's 380 miles round trip to go to the next youth rally. You know what? I'm kind of worried I might blow a tire or something. God's going to get paid one way or the other. I can either put the money in gas tank or I'll blow two tires next month. And there's $800 right there. So, you know, I say it sometimes off the cuff, but like, we shouldn't even think about it. It should you're not going to outgive the Lord. And instead of getting 20 miles a gallon, you might get 28 miles a gallon. And that's how it works out. But all right, I was going to go over some numbers here just really quickly. So, and these are all estimates. So don't come at me if you've got different math and all that. Okay, because this is not. I don't have chapter and verse for all this. But estimates based on modern currency and all that. All of the furniture and all of the stuff in the tabernacle. It's estimated to have been worth around $100 million, just based on the raw materials that were used. So the wood, the silver, the bronze, the fine, $100 million, and that was all donated. That was all given by the people of Israel. So roughly 1 ton of gold. And roughly 3 tons of silver. The gold estimating to be about $50 million. You mentioned the candlestick, Aunt Rhonda. A talent fluctuates in weight, but somewhere between 75 to 114 pounds of gold. So that would be about today, that would be about $2 million. And that was donated. And then you read in the temple, there were 10 candlesticks. That's a lot of money. I had an interesting stats here. So when they brought the gold, and it was in Moses and Aaron had to say, that's enough, that's enough. Or this is in the tabernacle, First Chronicles chapter 29, or temple, sorry, $7 billion. So a Walmart super center, their operating budget for a year is $100 million. So the tabernacle was seven times that. So I was just thinking all the stuff that comes in and out of a Walmart every year. How many truckloads of goods? How many of us are there, you know, buying the stuff from Walmart? Like, can you imagine seven times that just for the tabernacle? And that's what was donated. And that's what they gave. And so those are just estimates there. But $700 million in gold, $300 million in silver, and, you know, that's not counting the oil, the linens, all the other things that they give. So, there's a lot more than just 1 Corinthians 16 and Matthew 6:33 when it comes to giving and sacrificing, and not just money, but again, time, energy, effort, work days are a real thing. They had a lot of work days in the Old Testament.
Not that I'm advocating misusing church funds or anything like that. I'm as stingy as they count on promoting yourself, but not a lot of stuff for free off Facebook Marketplace. I mean, they were giving their best. Sometimes we think our offering is pretty good, but we wouldn't put it in our own house. We wouldn't put it in our shop. That's God.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's stand. Yeah.
Well, I was, you know, think about it. They're giving over to the spirit of the film. They were using, look over there, Exodus 25:9, according to the pattern that showed. Then Exodus 40, we see God will absolutely,
yeah,
no doubt, because God's glory filled for it.
Yeah.
We know it was made as that round out.
Amen. All right. Be dismissed. And Brother Alex, this was
Zero and Father, for everything you're offering for these classes, so that we can study them some more and apply to our life. Just pray that you can give all the ones that are under doctor's care, the ones that are seeing certain surgeries coming up, all those needs, so that we can have same traveling grace, so that we can go back to our home service tomorrow, be able to worship you and listen to your word. Thank you for everything, because we'll be ready for your return. Just pray for you.